Robert, and welcome to the call. And Ronnie. Go ahead, Ron.
4-3-2.
And so here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible for us. This is the Monday call, arranged by Winfrey. We'll be starting off here in a few minutes. This is, as usual, a simulcast for the conference call. We have a bunch of people here on the phone line. Every time you hear a ding, that's somebody else joining in on the call. Now, welcome the person who came in. Feel free to say your name and location.
That's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, Ice, everybody.
Don, to the call, Don.
Thanks.
All right.
Hello, Don.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, Don.
Hi, Don.
Hello.
Hey, Don. It's Darmananda. How you doing?
Good. How's it going, Darmananda?
I'm great. I got a little healing yesterday.
Good.
Hello, Shirley from Western Ohio.
Hello, Shirley. Welcome back. How are you doing?
Yeah, mid-central. Excuse me. I'm mid-central.
All right.
Thank you.
The next caller, thank you for being here. Please say your name and location. If you want to. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Percy, North Carolina.
Welcome to the call, Percy. How are you?
Thank you. Hi, it's going fine.
All right.
Hello, yes, I'm Bert and Joe.
Bert, how you doing?
Good, and yourself?
Oh,
welcome
great.
To the call. Who is this, Bert?
Yes, this is he.
Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. And I see somebody else joining in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Diana calling from New Jersey.
Welcome to the call. Is it Diana?
This is Elk Kylan in Sedona.
Hi, Diana. And who is this from Sedona?
Elk Kylan, also known as Terry.
Hello. Welcome to the call.
Oh, I'm in Tampa, by the way. Bert.
And this is White Dove from Sedona, Arizona.
All right. Welcome to the call.
New Mexico.
Welcome to the call from New Mexico. All right.
Thank you.
Michael in California.
Hi, Michael. Michael of Wynn, Wayne.
Oh,
hello, hello, hello.
Hello, Sedona, Jim.
Hello, hello. How are you, Heiss?
Fantastic, man.
And how are all the little Heisses?
We're all hiking along.
Hey, Wynn, I'm glad you're here, brother.
Why is that?
Because
so is he.
I have to get on the show.
That's because he doesn't have to do the show.
Exactly.
Hang on.
All right. In the meantime, we had more people join in. Welcome. If you want to, please say your name and location.
It's John from Las Vegas.
Terry.
All right, John, welcome back. Okay. Terry from Dallas?
And Terry from Dallas.
All right, welcome to the call.
I tried to get Arielle on, but the line's either busy or when I do get it, the operator says both circuits busy.
Okay. Be patient. Who was the other person that joined in? Please hear him again.
Yeah, Rick, hi, with Benny.
Hi, Eric, welcome to the call. How are you doing? It's the Rick, right? Yeah, hi, how are you doing?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for being here. Good. So it's 6:01. I welcome all those people on BBS Radio. And here we have somebody else come in at the conference line. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Dorian Dyer, Seattle, Washington.
Hi, Dorian. Welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you. Where are you at, by the way?
Say it again?
What part of the world are you in?
I'm in Northern California, near Chico.
All right. Great. Well, I really like the Mount Shasta area a lot, and I had an amazing experience there last year.
Yes, all right.
So, well, there.
UFO experience?
All right. We turned off the dings. It is 6:02. I don't see Terry Brown present yet.
I'm here.
Oh, hi, Terry. How are you?
Hi. Hi, I'm okay.
Are you on the phone? Oh, no.
Yeah.
On a different phone, Terry? Oh, no, I see you.
No, I'm on the same phone.
Yeah, no, you're good. You're good. How are you feeling now, Terry? Your mouth?
Starting to get better.
All right, all right. Hey, in your schedule, if you can find a little space, do a little prayer for Dharmananda, he will appreciate that. He's in pain.
I know. How's he doing? I know they did a channeling for him on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot better now, Terry. I don't have so much pain today. I got a rib wrap now, so it helps a lot. But you know, I still have some pain there, and it hurts to do things.
Yeah. I know, it's like Wim didn't mention you, but they were all over you on Sunday.
Yeah, thank
right.
you. Thank you. Maybe you can help have him help with some more until it's totally healed.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Hello. Welcome to the call.
Hello.
Hi, Kirby. I know you're here.
Hi, this is Roger in Austin.
Hi, Roger. Welcome to the call. All right. Welcome all those people that are joining on BBS Radio.
Is Terry here?
Yes, he is.
Terry, we're not ready, right?
Yeah, we're not ready.
Before we
start,
the doesn't have right. to be ready. It's the Elohim that has to be ready.
Right. Who are the people that are in Sedona that I heard say hello?
I wish.
Who was in Sedona? There were three people from Sedona.
I got a whole flock of them with me here. We're up at a fireplace in the mountains.
Oh, it's you. Did you bring some of your Native American friends or people with Native American names?
Yeah, this is White Dove, Elk Kylan, the Honey, and himself, and friend Sherry, and four-legged friend out of fun.
Well, I am so glad. Jeez, I forgot to tell you, this was our No Native American night.
No Native American night.
You're being negative.
Of course, I'm kidding. Are you gonna be riding this high?
Yes.
Okay. Because I'm gonna have some moments where people can talk. Okay.
All right.
So watch your finger. Okay. And let's get started. Let's mute everybody.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
And let's start the recording. And today is February 16th,
yes.
2015.
We're not recording yet, yeah? Ready?
Oh, well, I said start the recording.
Here we go.
God.
This conference is being recorded.
It's a good thing I called this talk incompetence, Heise. Well, this is Wynn and Terry. This is February 16th, 2015. Wynn and Terry in Sedona, Heise and Magalia. We have some new people on the line, and I welcome you all. And you know, we have a bunch of regulars, and I'm so grateful because they hold the energy for the space, and they do a really, 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 really good job of it because I just have to show up. And but not only do we have our regulars holding the energy, we have our sources in other dimensions holding the energy. and being here with us. Did you notice when I said that how there was a little lift in the energy? Did you notice that, Hayes?
Yes, I did.
Maybe they really are paying attention.
Yeah.
And one of the really, after doing this for quite a few years, and believe me, it was blowing my mind when I first started to realize what was going on. Because at first, we were talking to a voice in intelligence that said they were the Elohim. And when I looked up the word Elohim, they supposedly created the universe, and it was one of the names for God in the Old Testament, and one of the names, the main name of God that the Mormons used. And I didn't believe they were who they said they were. I said, maybe they are, but why should I believe them? I have to prove it to myself. And so they never asked me, and they don't ask anyone to defer to them or to prostrate themselves towards them. And in fact, when I asked them early on, I said, do you guys really like to be worshipped? They said, no. They said, we're like your big brother, a higher aspect of yourself. And they're so grateful to connect with us because they can see things about our patterns and about things that go on down here that we have a hard time seeing for ourselves. And so for a few years, I just kept asking them questions, and I kept thinking, well, if they are who they say they are, what do we do with that? I mean, how does that benefit people? I didn't know. I didn't know how to do it. But in the course of asking questions, right at the very beginning, in the first 6 months, we had this amazing miracle. I did, where I'm talking to them. It's just them and me and Daphne. And my sister's going in the hospital, and I don't know if they are. I don't know what they can do. I don't know the limits of this, but I said, can you guys help my sister? She was supposed to die the next day. And they said they could, and she survived the operation. And I'm still not believing. I'm still thinking maybe this is a coincidence. She could have survived anyway. It wasn't like 100% a thing that she was going to die. But a few weeks later, I got another call from my brother-in-law, and he said something really strange happened. That Joanne had to go in for tests, and her cancer was completely gone, but her lupus disappeared. And lupus never goes away. And they kept testing her. He asked me, what do you think happened? And I said, Larry, I'll get back with you on that. And so I then posed the question to them. I said, how did you guys do that? And they said, we just filtered her blood. And we projected an energy filter into her blood and took the lupus out. And this was in the first 6 months of my communication. And this was kind of staggering. I said, okay, I don't know if they created the universe, but I think they really healed my sister. And what are the outer limits of a connection with a source like this? I didn't know. And I certainly didn't know how to present it to other people. I was floundering. I tried talking to people about it, and I looked like the biggest wacko in the world. What's Wynn doing? Who's this new girlfriend Wynn has? And so, you know, it's evolved to this right now from that. And what I've learned, and many of the people on the call have become sensitive to these energies, that I do believe we've been communicating to the source that created the universe. I used to be a physics major. We've asked them numerous questions, and they answered with amazing, how can I say it, comprehension of how things work and how things are put together. And I got an email recently. We have somebody that comes into our calls, Rich Buckley, and he's asking questions that I don't even understand the question, okay? And on Wednesday, we give people the opportunity to ask questions. And so recently, he sent me an email back saying, hey, the Elohim said this, and science just confirmed it. And it was like the same week. So I tell people, don't believe we're talking to the Elohim, but be open to the possibility. Listen to the calls and see if it resonates. See if you get a hit on it. And one of the cool things about connecting with them, one of the things is the wisdom they have that they constantly unfold to us in this realm. And you know when you hear those things that suddenly give you an aha experience, and you go click, 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 oh yep, that makes sense, yep, yep, and then you see a pattern of yours and you can work with that pattern easily. It happens all the time on these calls. And you can go back. We have about 1,000 calls in our archives. And when people figure out what this is really about, they start eating up the archives. I've had people that listen to all 1,000 calls because no two calls are the same. And sometimes I talk, sometimes they talk, sometimes we both talk. Usually I ask questions. They like to answer questions rather than just give lectures, okay? And they really want to tune into us. And the cool thing is I think the most amazing phenomena of this connection with the Elohim, or the voice that says they're the Elohim, is that if you're on this call and you're in a neutral space, there's energies that come in. They have demonstrated the ability. It started with my sister when she had that healing of her lupus because they said they projected a filter into her blood. And they can project an energy in a way that if you're on this call and you're open to the possibilities, you can feel the energy. And it's like your space gets bigger. You feel more expansive. We feel more connected. And whether they talk to us or not, the energy is there. And why do you want to feel this energy? What's the good of feeling this energy? And I would say from my observing of it, that the energy comes from a very high timeline. Every one of us is trapped to a certain extent in this realm we call 3D. We're trapped here. And there is an energy around our planet that it's very hard to get above that energy. And we, even when we're evolved, we tend to bounce off of our own selves. You know, it's people that meditate. It's like the experience on this call higher than what most people experience when they meditate. Because when you meditate without a reference point, you just keep bouncing off your own interior walls. And you might still your mind, you might have all kinds of things, but it's hard to get beyond this veil until you have an experience of what it's like to expand beyond the veil. And when you have that experience, it starts to reintegrate automatically your own perception of yourself. And having the experience that you're really not alone in this realm, and that there really are sources out there that are positive, that are able to connect with your energy, and you connect with their energy in a total free will association. You don't have to belong to anything. You don't have to pay anything, although we love donations because we don't operate on a big budget. In fact, the work we're doing here, we put money into it to do it. And that keeps it clear and clean because we don't owe anybody anything. And over time, I have watched the people that keep coming into these calls start to shift and change. And some of the patterns that they've had for perhaps lifetimes even start to break down, and they feel more loving. They're more loving to other people, and they don't have to believe anything. It just happens. It happens as a result of the constant connection with this source in a higher dimension. And everybody has to validate it for themselves. There's nothing to believe in. You just have to show up, listen to our calls, listen to the conference calls, listen to the archives, pick things that look interesting, and see if it works for you. And if it works for you, just keep coming back. It's all your own inner directive, nothing beyond that. And there's a lot of people that it's worked for that keep coming back that, as I said earlier, are helping to hold the energy. But the one thing is you have to come without a prearranged mindset, because this is different than anything I've ever experienced. And I get a lot of emails from people that say that. They've never experienced anything like this. It's the highest teaching they ever, I'm not saying this, they say it, the highest teaching they ever discovered. It puts together pieces of the Old Testament, the New Testament, who God is, but in a way that has no pretense to it, no religion to it, and people start shifting. They start feeling the presence. They start feeling this loving energy. And, you know, one of the things that I used to be concerned about myself, being a rather independent, stubborn person, was the fear that I was going to have to give up my power to something outside of myself, and that they were going to start telling me what to do. But never happened. Never happened on these calls. You don't have to give up any iota of power. You take what you learn here and you put it into your own life, and it can help your own life shift into ways that you'd like it to be. So I started that because I know we have new people on the line, and I wanted to say that on their behalf instead of just jumping right into our topic. Now, I do want to say something else before I go into our topic. You know, we have been doing these calls for years, and very rarely do we miss a call. And personally, I think some of the calls we've done in the past are totally classic. Some of the things we've explored, some of the live channelings we've had. And I would like to start occasionally doing replays. And some of the people that have been coming to the call regularly, I'd like them to host the replays. Of course, Hise can do it anytime he wants, but he's an expert. You know, one of the things of doing that is, I'll give you the reasons. Number one, it gives Terry and I a night off, which we very rarely have. And we might even listen, because that's how addicted we are. But that's not the most important reason. The most important reason is that these calls are really important. They are breakthrough. They're bringing through information that has never been in this realm before. And by starting a thing of doing replays and keeping things going on replays, we make sure, I hope this is true, that the calls will continue. Because I'm mortal. Terry's mortal. Somebody could do us in. This is controversial. And it's like, the more people that know how to keep these replays going and to keep the calls going, instead of it just depending on Terry and myself, actually, the safer we are, okay? Because it keeps going. It's not based on our mortality. And the other thing is, it gives other people who have a chance to be of great service by helping to host the replays, and it makes sure that there's a bunch of people that know all our systems, so if anything ever happens to myself or Terry, which eventually it will, because we're all going to leave this realm, that there's a continuity into the future. Because, you know, I believe that if enough people were tuning into these calls regularly, it could change the destiny of our planet in a more positive way. And many of you know our planet's pretty precarious position right now. And there's huge service-to-self sources that are pushing their agendas. And you can't fight them. They're too strong. But you can listen to these calls. It changes your energy. It changes your ability to have intentions. And each of us is part of all that is, part of God, in a temporarily compressed into your physical body on planet Earth. And the more you can get into the creator aspect of yourself, the divine aspect of yourself, the more you can cast your intention vote for positive shift in the future. I know it works this way. I know it works that we are not helpless, but most humans can't do what I just said. They are used to following an authority, whether it's government or their religion or their background. Doesn't matter, even Native American. On some level, we all have to move beyond authority, and we have to tune in to our own divine aspect, our own creator side. And when we do that, and we create intentions, we get lots of help. But we have to start the ball rolling. And that's when the higher realms come in. And lots of people don't know how to do that. And let me see. Terry?
Yeah. Hello?
I have to be really nice to you today, right?
Right. I'm more cheerful.
You're more cheerful?
Yeah.
Well, is there anything you have to add to all this?
Well, for me, it's been a huge expansion, a huge look on how things work. Like, they give it in little doses, but it all makes a huge picture and expands my awareness. And sometimes I'm just totally amazed where I'm looking at them interacting with somebody, and I'm just trying to be the invisible person in the background so I don't upset the apple cart by some, like, if I blink wrong or something. But it's really an amazing experience to be able to bring them through, and it brings me up in tone to connect with them. It's amazing. Like Sunday, when they just went straight to Dharmananda and started working on his bridge.
Let me mention something. I want you to tell that story. But Dharmananda has been coming to our calls for quite some time. He's very aware spiritually. He's done a lot of work on himself. And he broke two ribs. And every Sunday, our Sunday call is a healing call, planetary and personal healing. And every Sunday, we have a two-hour call. And even though it's 2 hours, no one ever complains how long it is. Because once we hit the energy, once the energy comes in, it seems like we'd stay on the call forever and never get bored. Because it's not about entertainment. We're bathing in this energy from these sources. Now, some people don't get it the first time they're listening. A lot of people don't. You have to keep coming back. And for a long time, I never talked about the energy as I'm doing now, because if somebody's not feeling it, then they start to think, oh, I'm not feeling anything. Maybe these guys are a bunch of hoodwinkers or hypnotizing people or something. And I used to think of everything as a possibility, because I didn't want to say something like that unless I was 99.99% sure I was accurate. And so Dharmananda had sent me an email and said he had broken two ribs and that would I ask the Elohim to help. And we usually do this on Sunday. And he didn't ask in the formal way, because there's a special list we have, because usually if somebody sends me an email, I say, put it on the list, because otherwise I have an administrative nightmare. I got three different email addresses. I have to go through all, and I don't have time for it. So we have it systemized where they just enter it on the list. So he didn't put it on the list. And by the time Sunday came, I forgot. And then we turned it over to our sources to give the, every Sunday out of the 2 hours, there's usually a 10-minute section where they talk to us. And immediately, they started talking about Dharmananda, right? And now, you know, we've had experiences where Terry started talking in another language, and She said, "What was that?" And the next day, we got an email from a lady in Turkey. I forget her name now, but they said hello to her by name in her language. Now that doesn't usually. I can't ever do these things on demand. It just happens.
I can't either.
Can't either. It's kind of like people think that I can do it on demand, and I can tell because I told them to heal my sister. They think heal this person, heal that person, you know, and tell them I want a healing. And I wish I could do that, but I can't. It's like there's a whole thing of tuning into their energy, and usually the people that keep coming onto our calls learn to tune into their energy, and it's much easier to get some kind of healing when that occurs. And I could cite other points of experience we've had, but nonetheless, you have to watch it for a while to get it. It's not like a one-shot deal. But once you get it, it never goes away for most people. Maybe it will. I don't know. But most people, it doesn't go away. It's a new energy added, and they start to shift. And so so we put Dharmananda in the light, and they started talking about him. And Terry, why don't you go on and complete your part of the story?
Well, you had mentioned to me that Dharmananda had broken a couple ribs, and I had been praying for him a little bit, but then on the Sunday call, you didn't bring it in the light or mention it, but and I didn't know what they were going to say or talk about or anything, but then they came in, and it's like, Dharmananda, it's like your energy was like, heal me, heal me. It's like you were in so much pain, and they went straight to you. And it surprised me, because I'm never sure what they're going to talk about. And they went straight to Dharmananda and started working on his ribs. And later, Dharmananda said that when the channeling started, his pain level went down. So that was nice, because there was a definite connection. I could feel it with Dharmananda, mm-hmm. like they were in his face.
Mm-hmm. And those of you that are sensitive can feel them now. And the topic of this call, you know what the topic is, Terry?
Messing up?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
You inspired it, okay? And it's called incompetence, okay? And that every one of us has an area of incompetence. And I was thinking, how do we deal with our areas of incompetence? You know, the normal way of dealing with it is to feel ashamed of it and hope nobody sees it. And in Terry's case, whenever I can talk about incompetence in myself. I can talk about my areas of incompetence, and I can tell you how I've dealt with them. Because for a good portion of my life, my areas of incompetence were really sabotaging me. And I thought I had to fix them. But then I learned that I didn't have to fix it. I did not have to fix my areas of incompetence to be okay. And the key word here is workaround. And I wanted to talk about it because I think for all of us, most of us, we have our areas of incompetence, and we go through our life trying to look good and hope nobody sees our incompetence or our distortions or our lower patterns. And we learn how to present ourselves to people so that that's never visible. Now, I'm not suggesting that you walk around and tell everybody your incompetence, right? It's like Terry could walk up to somebody and say, oh, well, I don't want to be ashamed of my incompetence. I'm forgetful. I'm spaced out. I'm extraordinarily shy. It's nice to meet you. No, that's not how you work around your incompetence. The workaround is more inner work. And adding a little wisdom to your own understanding of how to deal with yourself and not to take areas of incompetence and in turn them into unworthiness, because that is what is normal with people. They feel unworthy, and then they try to put out an ego thing that makes them look good to cover up their unworthiness. And so what happens is they never really overcome. They recycle the same pattern for lifetimes because they don't know how to deal with it. And myself, I mean, I'll share with you. I'll talk about myself, okay? It's like I tend to be impatient. I tend to be, I have this part of myself that comes from my father, which I've talked about, which feels unworthy because he always said I wasn't any good. And he put everything I did down, even the good things he put down. And I internalized that. And even when I understood that, you know, when you're young and growing up, you don't realize how it's working. I didn't realize I was being programmed by my father, but I was. And so for a good many years, there was a part of me that was sabotaging myself. And people could feel this part of me that was unworthy, and they would tend to reject me because I was rejecting myself. And on the other hand, I was doing phenomenal creations as a songwriter in all kinds of different ways. And I had to learn how to put my creations out and let people get to know me through my creations rather than just being this friendly guy, because I was irritable and impatient, and I thought they should recognize me. But they couldn't recognize me because they didn't even know what I was creating, even though I knew I was. And part of me is still that way. Part of me still is impatient, irritable. Sometimes it comes off as being bossy. And it's like one of the workarounds is... And I'm just seeing this in reverse. Because I kept putting my creation out, which are these conference calls, and because people kept benefiting from it, then I got a lot of love and acceptance back from other people over a long period of time. And so it was countering my own little part of myself that would be unworthy. And then Hives has just the opposite quality from me. Hives is totally friendly and warm and personable. People love him. He's not irritable. He's patient. He's consistent. And so Hives says hello to everybody on the calls. Sometimes I do, and people put up with me when I do. But he does a far better job than I do because he's not incompetent in that area where I am. So, and when I say incompetent, I'm much better now. I mean, those of you, I've heard me say hello to everybody at the beginning. And usually I'm very funny. It's the way I work around it. But nonetheless, that is how I deal with one of my areas of incompetence. Another area is that I can start things and not finish them. And Terry has her areas of incompetence, but she is a great completer. If she starts something, she will finish it. And she balances my impatience to finish things and then supports the energy so that I don't have to, you know, in the background, Terry is supporting the energy of all this. Aside from being a channel, aside from being developing all her own interdimensional wisdom, aside from all her great talents, she holds the glue to keep the flow going. And I can acknowledge her tremendously for that. And sometimes people don't think I acknowledge her, but I do. Because even though I might be the front man, you can't have a front man if there's not a rear man holding things together. And she helps hold us together. But she has her areas of incompetence. And you know what? She feels really bad. If I ever talk about her areas of incompetence, and she thinks I'm making her wrong or judging her, and I'm really not. I'm trying to figure out how to work around it, how to work around her incompetence so that we can be more successful, so we can reach more people, so that the businesses we're doing go better. So, Terry, why don't you tell everybody your areas? You don't have to, but if you want to, why don't you talk about your areas of incompetence and laugh at it while you're saying it? If you want to, you can say, "With, I don't want to do it." You want to do it? Are you open to it?
Okay, maybe the biggest thing is, I have a tendency to want to hang out on the other side because those sides over there are so loving and caring. And so I have a wonderful memory, but if I'm leaving to go somewhere, I probably half the time leave my phone home. And, but it's sort of a result of hanging out on the other side. It's like I get nervous when I'm about to go out into the public and I forget, you know, that I'm going to bring my phone. Because my attention is all wrapped up on getting my energies together to go out. But I think that's one of the main things. And it's right. I do like to complete stuff, but I tend to be very detail-oriented. So if I'm figuring out commissions and I have 100 items where there's a PayPal deduction of a fee of 35 cents or 44 cents or $1.52, it's like I might spend a whole day adding up and figuring out what the PayPal things are. And when he just comes in and says, well, why don't, it's approximately 5%, so why don't you just deduct 5% fee on all of those things? So I learned from him about how not to be so obsessive about every last penny being exact.
To clarify this, you know, it's a situation where it might have been 4.5% or it might have been 5.5%. It varied slightly for each sale. And we are dealing with a total amount of less than $3. And Terry wants to get it. Terry wants to get it perfect. So she wants it to be $2.85 or $2.65. or $3.10 or whatever. And I said, you can't waste a whole day for 30 cents. Just, this is a close enough approximation on it. Let them sue us. You know, it's like, you know, but I think it comes, you know, our patterns somehow come from some past experience or lots of past experiences. And the pattern that Terry has probably comes from being in situations where if she made a mistake, somebody really yelled at her. And so she's trying to be so perfect so that somebody doesn't yell at her. And then, of course, I come in and yell at her for spending a whole day for 35 cents. And then she gets mad at me because she said, hey, don't you know what a good job I'm doing? So, you know, this is the crazy way us humans are. But the thing about areas...
But
go ahead.
It's really better that I... That like, all over that I, like, 5% for the fee, because I might spend 3 days figuring out somebody's commission, and then they're probably sitting there figuring, oh, you know, she ripped us off or something because she didn't even send a figure. And I'm like, oh, I got to get it right. I got to work all night here. I got to get the penny down. Mm-hmm. And by the time I give it to them, it's like they may have given up.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when she was doing somebody's commission, and she spent probably 2 weeks on it. And
we
went to see the person. And she handed them all her work. Her work, we put it aside. I don't think he even looked at it. I would think he didn't look at it.
But, that's another thing. When we have pages of pennies, you know, I mean, it's like you look at it and you go, what's this?
You get a headache, right? So, you know, this, you know, when you take all this spiritual stuff and bring it down into the real world, which we all have to do. We all have to bring it into the real world because we're in the real world, and you can't make pretend that you don't need to pay rent, you don't need things in your life, and that you have areas of incompetence, you have areas of places where you're not good at, and it can seem insurmountable obstacles. It really can. And there's tricks to getting around it. And The first thing is to not judge yourself. The second thing is to look at your areas where you're masterful and say, how can I do something where I'm masterful? And emphasize that and just do it and work around the part of you that says, I'm not worthy. And push your own barriers. That doesn't always work, but at least try it a little bit. Like Terry is exceedingly shy. And so...
Oh, yeah, very, very shy.
Sometimes if she has to make a phone call to somebody, she is scared out of her wits, okay? And it's just a simple phone call. But, you know, it has to do with her area of incompetence. Probably thinking, and she's talked about it, nobody likes me. My mother was a pain in the ass. My mother put me down when I was young, and everyone
Well, she was demanding perfection, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, in studying, like, some of the letters from my mother, she got...
Mm-hmm.
Her relatives were really hard on her. It's like
mm-hmm.
demanding perfection from her.
Hmm. Well, that, you know what? All these things, you know, you go back to Jesus. The sins of the parents are visited upon the children. It's like we are all hatched into this world and are around our parents' energy, and we pick up all kinds of things from them. And it's a rare thing. It happens often, but it's still rare. I think more people have difficulties with their parents than coming from a super loving family. So somehow you have to mock up the love that you didn't think you'd get from your parents and bring it in a way you can love yourself. And one of the cool things about dealing with our sources is they really generate unconditional love. And that can help heal the part of you that didn't feel loved. And I'm sure some of you on this call know what I'm talking about. I want to send light to Christopher in Tennessee, who goes through all kinds of inner hell for having picked up negative entities, and they attack him. So, Christopher, we love you. We ask our sources to work with you. And I'm just sending you those blessings. And let's just do that for everyone on the call. We all need extra love. And when you don't have the love in your life in a direct way, let's let ourselves receive the love of spirit right now. Let it into your system. Let it into your energy field. And forgive yourself for your areas of incompetence.